Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Handbags at Dawn, the home of lateral thinking. This is not just a bag full of crap. This is a materialistic representation of the female ability to balance the organisational demands of modern day life whilst celebrating the right to personal expression and adhering to society's expectations. So there.
We are your hosts on this bag innards investigation, Charlotte Edmonds and Jessica Johnson.
I'm a TV creative and have two children during my 9 years working at Psycho Entertainment. As such, the girls have been brought up to judge perfect pitch and can spot a sob story a mile off, forgetting, as they emotionally explain the reasons why they must watch Cinderella for the third time that day, so can I.
I'm a freelance journalist and editor and a mother of two. Having worked for the Sunday Times, Net-a-Porter and Matches Fashion, I'm used to working for people with an exacting eye for detail. And yet that's no training for dealing with a toddler who wanted the green plate.
This is the one where we talk talent, TV and TV scene with a rather marvellous someone. We're sort of astonished to be finding ourselves in the position of introducing our phenomenal guest to this week's show. She's a trailblazer who's conquered everything she's turned her hand to, from being the youngest ever editor of the legendary Smash Hits magazine, presenting to millions as the original host of Juggernaut talent show The X Factor, and anchoring the hugely successful daytime shows Loose Women and This Morning. Her career has reached highs most of us could only dream of across print, radio, and TV. This mother of one has recently expanded her repertoire into the world of e-commerce, launching a brand new online venture, TB Scene, ridding us of our shopping guilt by ensuring we're saving money by spending it. This is the spectacular Kate Thornton.
Blimey, that's like I couldn't have written a nicer thing myself. Thank you so much.
When you put it like that, it sounds great.
That was just some of the things. There was so much to what you've done.
Here's your best bits.
Yeah.
But don't forget, this does expand over like 3 decades now almost. Well, no, not quite 3, but getting on for that. Yeah.
So how did it all begin?
I'd had a newspaper column before I went to Smash Hits, and I literally had gone to journalism school, and I had a diploma in periodical journalism because I couldn't afford to go to university or get into university because I wasn't that bright. I just didn't have the qualifications to get me in there, and I literally cheated my way through my entrance exam into journalism school. It's true.
You heard
How
it here
you
first.
How did you?
I looked over people's shoulders and copied their answers.
Literally.
Love it.
Because there were things that I was like, I don't understand that word. I have no idea. But I knew where I wanted to be journalistically. And I always understood that in order to communicate with people, you talk to them like you talk to them. And I had to get 2 work placements. So I literally just wrote to every publication in the land. And I'm talking bird watching magazines, anything. Because if I didn't get a work placement, I was in trouble at college. And the Mirror Group came back and they said, you can come and do the Sunday Mirror magazine. And I was literally writing captions, making tea and coffee, but constantly busying myself. And I just thought, I'm here for a week. I've got to make it count. I've got to make an impression because there could be a job at the end of it. At the end of the week, Kate Hadley said to me, I think I'm going to give you a job. And I went, you're joking, no way, oh my God. Like Vicky Pollard, because I was from the country then. So I was like, oh my God, no, shut up, go away. And she said, yeah, as soon as you finish your exams, come back. So I literally finished my exams on like a Tuesday at 12:30. And by 12:45, I was there. I went, I'm here. You said as soon as I finished my exam. And I looked ridiculous. I'd bought myself what I thought people in the city wore to work as a journalist, like this really bad suit from my mum's catalogue.
Did you have a briefcase?
I looked like I was trying. What I was trying to channel was slightly Melanie Griffiths, working girl, shoulder pads,
just looked like a twat in my mum's clothes. But they humoured me there.
But presumably, in order to get that kind of job and then to do really well at it, it's that enthusiasm and that drive and caring that much about something that does help you doing as well as you did so quickly, so young. I look back at when I was 21 and I feel that I might have been braver then than I am now.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, it was pure naivety. When I got the job at Smash Hits, for example, I'd been sort of told by the then editor, Mark Frith, that he was leaving. He was going to edit Sky magazine, which I thought was just like, amazingly cool. And he sort of said, you know, they haven't got an obvious candidate, so you might as well throw your hat into the ring. Do you want me to mention your name? Yes, please. And then had to do 10 hours of interview, and I knew I was nowhere near good enough, and I was completely out of my depth. I had a weekend to put together a dummy magazine, and I mean, I'm literally stapling pages together and doing dummy layouts and moving the lyrics around, and I had to put together a presentation and a plan for how I would lift sales, and I had X amount of marketing budget, and what would I do with that money, where would I apply it, and what band would I put on the cover. And I literally locked myself away in my flat for the weekend and just didn't allow myself out until it was done, and I loved it. Once I'd done that, I thought, I've got to get this job, I've got to, I love this, this is so much fun. So that's what I went in and presented them with. I am not saying this to be anything other than entirely honest. There simply were no other candidates around at the time. No, seriously, there weren't.
But I bet that they would have seen that incredible enthusiasm, and I can still see it in you now.
Well, because it was super exciting, you know. Rewind sort of 6 or 7 years, and I was the kid that every second Wednesday got my bike straight out of school and cycled to the newsagents because I knew Smash Hits was hitting the stands. And I wanted to literally get them warm. I wouldn't even wait till I got home to read it. I would literally just put my bike up against the wall, sit down, don't talk to me, I'm reading Smash Hits, and just kind of chortle is probably the best way to describe it. Some of the brilliant jokes they had. And there was always this running gag about, God love her, the Queen Mother, and how she had teeth like peanuts. And it was just to make me laugh.
It did! Yes, it did!
And then, you know, every pop star would be asked, have you ever been sick in your shoes? Which I just thought was a brilliant question, because inevitably they hadn't, but they would always try to give you an answer to sound some kind of cool, you know. So like, no, I haven't, but I did vomit on a gravestone once. And you go, that's inappropriate. Not terribly respectful. But it taught me a lot, Smash Hits. I think, you know, if we all wanted to play it safe in life, we would have gone for safe occupations. You come into a business like this where you go into broadcast or print, and you know that you have to be quite tenacious from the get-go and expect for there to be as many lows as you hope there will be highs.
We're sitting here today in TV Scene Towers, surrounded by your... Yes, I think that's what they are. Surrounded by your staff. What you had recognised in you, do you look for that in people who work for you now?
Well, everyone I work with, because I'm certainly not the boss. The smartest thing I ever did was make sure that everybody that works here is much smarter than me, and it's all gone really quiet in the office.
Yeah, everyone.
Surround yourself with people who are always going to make sure that you are the least smart person in the room, and that's certainly the case here.
We probably need to.
We should look in my yeah,
your bag.
Okay. 1 hour later.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm actually on the end of my physical chair. Yeah. So this is your handbag. Now I had a glimpse. This is
my kind of work bag. So I got really bad shoulders from lugging around. Literally stomping around London in a determined fashion to set up this business with laptops and chargers, and I buckled my back up. So I've got myself a very nice ASOS backpack, which is wipe clean.
Excellent.
Which is essential. Which you need to be, because anything that holds fromage spray is no friend of mine.
What have we got in it? Ooh, that's nice.
Now this I literally can't go anywhere without this. It's my favourite fragrance in the whole wide world. It's called Pomelo, and it's by Joe Loves. And Joe from Joe Loves is Joe from Joe Malone. She sold Joe Malone to Estee Lauder years ago when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, with every intention of going off, getting better, and just taking life a bit easier. And then did that thing that lots of really smart people that run at 100 miles an hour normally do, went, I can't do this, I'm bored out of my tiny mind. So she can't trade as Joe Malone, but she can trade as Joe Loves. And her nose is like...
It's like no other.
Please,
like,
can I smell it?
Brilliant. Please do. Don't pretend.
Oh my God, no, that is
fantastic. Even I would want to sleep with somebody wearing this. Yeah, I'd sleep with myself.
That should be on the
bottom. I do sleep with myself.
We'll make you want to sleep with yourself. She's amazing.
I love her to pieces, and she always responds to me on Twitter, and I just ask her really annoying questions about fruits and stuff. Spices.
For what reason?
She's interested.
Okay.
Where's the pomelo from, Joe? She's like, Asia.
Do you ever used to make your own perfumes?
Yeah.
Rose petals. And then they go mouldy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And in a body shop bottle. And then they go mouldy.
And then make your mum wear them.
Yeah, exactly. She'd be like, slime. How delightful.
Well, the algae's really quite tasteful. Yeah.
Certainly in the early days of setting this business up, I read a lot about people that started up on their own to sort of understand how does it work. There's a brilliant book called The Hard Thing About Hard Things, which is not what it sounds like.
Not hard.
Just
get your mind a lot filthier immediately.
It's about the difficulties one faces when setting up a business. People like Joe, those stories would really inspire me.
It's so completely different from anything that you've done before.
In my working life, any time I felt that there was a shift in the landscape of broadcasting or media, I wanted to be where it was going. So when I left print journalism to go into television, it was because digital TV was about to be launched. So you have to be smart about it and go, hang on a minute, I need to know where it's growing. I need to be working in this space so I understand it. So I went into TV. Now you look at online and you sit there and you see how people are consuming content. And I just thought, I need to understand this digital space, because even when you're watching TV at home now, it is never your primary screen. It's your second screen. And I thought we had a really smart idea for a business that could be discovered through social, through an audience that was following me and the other girls, that I thought I would want to hear about. Would it bother me if somebody put something like this on my timeline? No. Earning money back on the stuff you're already buying in a really engaging way with a unique user experience that's easier than anything else out there to use. Yeah, I'd give that a go. And so I did.
You're combining second screen onto one screen. That's what's really smart about it, because you've got a TV show that you're watching. For anybody who's not looked at the site, go and have a look at TV Scene, because there's very engaging content, lots of videos. I particularly like what's in your makeup bag section, because of course we're obsessed with bags.
But
you talk as well about surrounding yourself here with people you admire, respect, who can do great things. That's what you've done in your content as well, isn't it? You've got some phenomenal friends and people who are bringing their own brilliant stories to your brand.
Absolutely.
How did that all come about?
Really organically, actually. And I think if I'd have tried to make it happen, it would never have worked. So with TV Scene, a friend presented to me cashback and said, do you understand cashback? I was like, yeah, you get it at the till in Tesco's. He's like, no, that's not how it works. I was like, well, what is it then? The word was bandied around, but did I truly understand what it meant? Well, I know I didn't. So basically the way it works is it's called affiliate marketing. It's about being really smart with the way you shop. So say I'm ASOS and you're Reese and I'm selling your clothes. You will negotiate a fee with me for every sale that I generate for you. So say it's 5%. Well, actually all we do at TV Scene is give it back to the customer to reward them. It's kind of like cash karma. It's thank you for shopping with us. We really appreciate it. We would much rather engage them and earn their loyalty by giving the money back. I want to create a site that felt like the super smart friend that would walk you around your favorite department store and make sure you didn't miss a trick. Can you do the thinking for me? Can you take me to the best deals? Can you curate? Can you recommend? Can you make sure that I don't miss out on anything?
But that's the thing that I found with it, is that the brands you're working with, you've got on board, are just fantastic.
Oh,
they
yeah.
are exactly the places. Because I think with other cashback sites, it'd be kind of like, maybe there's one or two that I might shop with. But you know, all of them are places that you would shop with.
Well, a lot of that is the other sites have like 4,500 brands. Mm. Well, nobody is ever going to... When are you ever going to shop 4,000 brands?
Yeah.
So actually, I mean, if you put it into kind of physical store terms, I would describe other sites in this space as TK Maxx. You walk in there and you go, oh my God, I'll get a bit kind of giddy when I go to TK Maxx. I love it.
Oh, so do I.
I love it.
I'm close to you right now. I went there yesterday and I'm still reeling. Guess what, how much these trousers were?
Yes, the TK Maxx. I mean, okay.
They're nice, yeah, they're nice.
Very
I'm
nice.
Going to say, I know how many discounts they give. I'm going to say about £35.
Do you know what, Kate? You are so close. They were £35 down to £3.
Oh, shut
no.
up.
No. £3
I won yesterday.
You did. I'm so going to steal your style.
Wow.
Going online right
£3.
Now.
That's like less than a sandwich.
That was in the clearance section. Yeah. There's no argument to not buy them then, is there?
No. But you go into TK Maxx, right? You know there's gold in them hills, but you need time to wade through.
When you become a mum and you go shopping, there's always tears. Yeah. And sometimes they're the children's. It's literally like you can't browse anymore.
You walk in and out of shops having literally kind of mini menopauses, getting really hot, really cold.
Oh, the mums, yes. What are they? Why do they come? And they don't want people with pushchairs.
Do they don't want the likes of us.
They measure the pushchair and then they go, right, bring the clothes in closer. Yes, perfect. Everyone will feel very awkward here. They will all leave.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
That's where I started to get really smart with online shopping. So I just thought, well, what about if we could create their TK Maxx, but turn it into a lovely environment? You know exactly where everything is. It's all the brands that you love, trust, know, and regularly buy. So actually, I don't want 4,000 brands. Just give me the ones that really mean something to me. So that was the starting point. Then we thought, well, how are we going to educate people about this? How are we going to talk to them? And it became very apparent very quickly that they needed almost to be recommended by a friend. And the closest thing we could kind of conjure up were people that are well known to you. So I started to kind of sound my girlfriends out. And it going, right, I'm thinking of having a bit of a career change. And they're like, oh God, not again. what now? No, I was like, no, seriously, hear me out. So I gave them the pitch, like, do you think I should do this? Should I go and try and start a business? So the first person I went to was Tamsin Althwaite. And Tam's got this amazing business mind. And if she wasn't so talented as an actress, she'd be running some sort of FTSE 100 company. She's really smart, Tam. She was like, this is a no-brainer. You've got to do this. Right, right. She validated it for me. She was like, absolutely. And then, you know, the next time we were out, she'd be saying to one of the other girls, go on, tell them your idea. This is brilliant. You're going to love this. And then slowly everyone's like, that's brilliant. Oh my God, I'd shop that. We should, yes. And then I phoned up Mylene Class and was like, I've got this idea for a business, but I don't know how to write a business plan. Can you give me some advice? Can I look at one of yours just to see how you template it? And then she was like, this is brilliant. I'll do it with you. I was like, well, Tam said that. And then slowly it all started to kind of work itself. So then one night I was out, we'd gone to see Denise Van Outen in her one-woman show. And Amanda Byron was there. I hadn't seen Amanda for a couple of months. And Amanda said, oi, Denise has been telling me about this thing you're doing. Have you got anyone to do fitness? I was like, well, no, and I was going to call you because I need to know how to do fitness content online. She was like, I'll do it. And then before you know it, Lisa Faulkner's like, I'll do food. And actually, our group came together very naturally, born out of the fact that we are all friends. Denise and the All Saints girls were at school together in the same class. So their friendship goes back beyond 20 years. But really, we're a bunch of women that met in the 90s and had the best of times, late nights, dirty dance floors, terrible hangovers, amazing holidays. Moving into our 30s, life got a bit more serious. We settled down. Some of us married. Most of us had kids. Most of us got divorced. And we've been through the highs and lows and the good times and the bad times. And actually, our relationships have probably outlived most others.
I think the whole thing that I found so fascinating and compelling about this and engaging is the huge friendship part of it. And I wondered that, obviously, with all the other things that you've done previously, you've been the front and face of somebody else's thing.
Yeah.
And I wondered how that made you feel now that
terrified.
This is...
I think I felt the fear on this more than anything else, if I'm being really honest, because I thought, oh my God, all of these amazing friends have completely backed me on this and they just trust me. That massive responsibility, I mean, I had a constant sweaty upper lip of just thinking, I don't want to let them down. I don't want to let them down. I mean, they couldn't have been more amazing. So I think the first day that we went on set, and the TV scene shoots are huge. There's 12 women, huge crew, and we run multiple formats. So we try to shoot as much as we can in a day. The organisation is off the scale. It's worse than a wedding, and we drink as much. And it should have been me assuring the girls that day, don't worry, it's all going to be fine. But it was more them coming up to me going, are you feeling you're right? It's going to be all right. Don't worry. We're going to make it work. And it did. It just really worked. I didn't need to do anything other than just let the cameras roll and capture what we do anyway, which is just what all women do. We chew each other's ears off. We laugh. We share. We support. And that, I think, is what's beautiful that comes out of our content, is that you're not watching well-known people being interviewed by maybe a journalist. It's peer-to-peer. It's friends talking to friends. It's that recommendation of the brilliant sites that we've discovered and we love. And we also have this channel on the site called We Love, which is all about small businesses that wouldn't normally be able to afford all the back-end plug-in to join a site like ours.
I was having a look. A lot of those are quite female-focused and female-run,
aren't they? Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it's really nice.
I really wanted to do that because I knew how hard it was getting this business off the ground. And that was with 12 names on board that helped to really open a lot of doors. So you think about how hard it is without that natural advantage that we had. Like you guys, right? So you got in touch and you're like, right, we're doing our own thing. We've got it up on iTunes. I had a look and I just thought, I say yes because the people that said no to me, I remember you.
She has a list on the wall.
But I think what's so brilliant, and I read an interview that you did with The Telegraph sort of earlier in the year when you launched the site, and you were talking about how it's a matter of looking at your career and seeing how, I mean, as you say, you know, you've obviously already done so many amazing things, but then it's sort of looking to the future.
Always.
And thinking, okay, well, this is how it's been, but is it going to continue like that?
You can't.
How can I future-proof my career? And I just think this is such a brilliant way of doing that.
It is born out of need as much as want, to be honest with you. You have to be realistic. When I started in TV, I thought I had probably 3 years at it, and I'm 20 years in now. It's not going to last forever.
Why did you only think 3 years?
I don't know. Just never assume. I don't know. That's a very good question. So I didn't think I'd be very good at it, or that people would like me or would want to book me. So I just thought, 3 years, that would be just, you know, a nice little dance to have for 3 years. It's like to tell the grandchildren one day. Your mother was on the news once, you know. That kind of thing, you know. Never thinking that it would become anything meaningful, to be honest with you. Even in those 3 years, I always described myself as a journalist, never as a TV presenter. I don't think it was until I started doing proper Saturday nights I was like, all right, then I'm a TV presenter. But I didn't think it would last. And it doesn't, ultimately. And you cannot have a career that is just glorious from start to finish. There are going to be quiet times and pitfalls. And also, you know, you get to a point where actually you can say no to stuff you don't want to do. You know, for example, I love watching reality television. I do not want to be in a reality TV show. I can watch them all day, every day. The Real Housewives of wherever I will watch. But do I want to be in a show like that? No, I don't. You know, and that's the culture at the moment for TV. Those are the things that really rule the ratings. So, well, you know, well, while those are dominating, I'll watch them and then I'll go and work somewhere else and try and learn something else. And maybe there'll be a want and a need for a safe pair of hands and a tried and tested broadcaster again down the line. But if there's not, well, I'm really happy doing what I do here. And I get to go and kind of play at Radio 2 as well, which is really wonderful.
Yeah, you've brilliant shows.
I love my show on Radio 2. Mm. Sorry, someone's just put the kettle on.
You've got need tea.
Yeah.
The fact that you said you wouldn't want to do reality TV, is that because it's sort of around the clock and they're trying to catch you out? Because you've always been very brave at bearing your soul and sharing your experiences for people who are watching and listening to you. And I think you've always done that and been very, very open. But with reality TV, is that a step too far?
Yeah. It is. I don't want to be watched 24/7. I get sick of me. I used to have nightmares that I was in the Big Brother house. And when I say nightmares, I mean literally I would sit up, bolt upright and go, no, what happened? Oh, no. Well, you know, kind of yelping in my sleep.
Go and stand by the front door, get open shut, going, I am free. I'm free. I can leave. Yeah.
Whenever Tesco's, it's all right. I think I've made myself quite clear. I really don't want to be reality TV.
I think the only one I'd ever want to do...
Strictly.
When is Strictly. Oh, yeah, that's the only one.
Because you learn something. Yes. But I did the Strictly tours for about 5 or 6 years. I hosted them and I had to do a bit of dancing. I had a couple of fine Russians passing through my nose.
Oh, that was a hard job to do.
All the bruises. Artem. It was brilliant. I loved it. So I felt like I got my fix of that because I got to kind of rehearse with the pros and I did that and I'm really glad that I did. I loved it. And if ever you girls need a sparkly frock to borrow for a posh do, I've got a whole wardrobe of
fabulous. Oh my God, we're going to just hold a sparkly dress do just so we can come
just
and take
so
up on
that. Just so we can do
that. Sequin pop-up shop at my house. So I loved that and I agree entirely. I think Strictly is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But also when you've hosted reality shows and you understand the mechanics of them, it's a bit like, you know, being the guy that put up the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. You know what's behind it. I know how these shows are made and what you have to do to make them what they are.
I used to work on The X Factor and we would have people come and they know the workings of reality TV. Yeah. They know how it all works.
Something can't be around as long as The X Factor and do a decade in the most glaring kind of spotlight and people not understand how it works. And don't forget, ITV2 will always do that for you. Because if you're a successful show on ITV1, there's going to be an ITV2 show. That's how I got into the whole reality talent show thing. I became the ITV2 spin-off host for Pop Idol.
Which was better, that or the main show?
Both. Different experiences entirely. I think with Pop Idol, it was just intoxicating. The whole country stopped and bought into that show.
It was the first of its kind, wasn't it? I mean, nobody had seen anything like it.
It was on the news at 10. men. Mm. You know, we were invited to talk in Parliament about how to persuade young people to vote. It was every conversation, everywhere you went. And I can't remember a time before that where a TV show had done that. Sure, we weren't breaking new ground because talent shows have been around forever. But for me, it felt like new ground. And I was working with this incredible team of people, including Ant and Dec. I'd only just, you know, a couple of years before that, killed PJ and Duncan with them at Smash Hits, and we buried them on the cover. I know, right? It was their idea. They were like, PJ and Duncan are over. Oh, let's just be Ant and Dec. So we killed them, and then we booked them to host the Smash Hits Awards, and they were terrified because they'd never done live TV at that point. And we did the cult of Ant and Dec, I remember, and we had masks on every seat so that when we did the wide opening shot, it was the cult of Ant and Dec. It was 12,000 Ant and Decs in the audience. It was so exciting. Also, it was the year that the Spice Girls exploded, and I was working very closely with them and Simon Fuller as a result of that. And it was Simon Fuller that then called me up and said, I want you to come and do Pop Idol. So we all just moved on to different things, but together. So they were exciting times. And we never, ever took it for granted. You know, we were always the ones in the bar after the show going, we seriously are the luckiest people alive. And I still feel like that.
I'll have a bath as long as I don't get wet.
That is actually a very good moment to interrupt this, because we would love to know what's in your bag next, Kate.
I've actually, well, this... this is my Bible, it's my diary. Everybody in the office, we work off a centralised computerised diary, and I'm crap at looking at it. So I have a diary on my phone, but this contains everything. This documents my working life, my personal life, and most importantly, my son's social life. Because my other job is Ben's social secretary, slash taxi driver, and sandwich maker. So yes, every year I treat myself to a nice diary. So this year it was courtesy of Aspinalls of London.
Oh, I love Aspinalls.
It takes a real bashing, and I take it everywhere. When people go, okay, should we put a meeting in, and you pull a diary out with paper in it, they're like, freak.
I mean, you need to accompany it with a quill, and then maybe. But I think it's not too old school. I think it's dependable. And when will that ever crash?
Exactly. I save all of my diaries just on the off chance that one day I have some sort of desire to revisit my life or write a book about it.
Will you write a book?
No.
She's thought about that.
No, I was offered that, and I've not finished living yet. Yeah, there's more to come.
Do you have a moment where you stop and go, I have made it? Have you had those when you go, this is it? I've made it right now.
Yeah, only one time, and that was when I gave birth to my son. Aww. And that was it. Yeah, that was probably my most incredible moment ever. Mainly because the pain had stopped.
Oh, it's such a great moment when it stopped
again.
You
can't believe it's over. You just think, what? Hang on. And one minute you think you're going to die, and the next minute it's like, oh my God, it's so gorgeous, my God.
I know, and when you say to people, oh, that's, you know, I've had so many people say to me, don't exaggerate, you thought you were going to die. No, I genuinely thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
I kept asking for drugs, but they just didn't get them in time. I ended up doing it with nothing. I mean, that's not the plan. I was meant to be absolutely... out of it. And the hospital were great where I had my son, because he was premature and there was all kinds of things wrong, and thank God I was in safe hands. But for some reason, the doctor overseeing my delivery just thought it was really appropriate to come in and keep cracking X Factor gags while I was crowning.
What? Pick your moment, dude.
If you don't get this baby out soon, I'm going to freeze the voting lines. I'm like, really? Oh. Really now? Right now? It's because if I could get off this bed, I would wallop you.
I would ask you what his name is, but I can see it up there on your list.
The hit list. I loved him, actually. He was good fun.
No.
If slightly inappropriate.
Excuse me, but they actually had cheese in my eye.
Do you have anything else that you could pull out of your bag to talk about? One last item.
Sunglasses. Because in the morning I'm so lazy, and I pray for good weather, because otherwise I just scare people on the school run and for driving. And so I have these and my regular reading glasses, because literally the day I turned 40 my eyes gave up.
No.
So now I have to have reading glasses as well. So anytime I leave the house, as long as I've got my sunnies and my reading glasses, my perfume and my diary and my phone, I am good to go. And actually, just a bucket of makeup as well.
Oh, I mean, this is an impressive.
Because I don't think I've ever stopped believing that I might be called on to set at any given moment and I'll need makeup. So I actually wear very little, usually, day to day. Actually, there's no need for me to lug this much around with me, but it's like a telly kit. I think I'll probably be carrying this around in my 70s still.
Did you learn some amazing tricks of the trade?
Loads, and I still do all the time. I'm really lucky because, you know...
Can you tell us some of them?
So one of the things we did when we set the site up is we were talking about how lucky we were that we've all got people that teach us how to find new ways to reinvent ourselves and not wear the same makeup all the time and same clothes and just push you slightly out of your comfort zone, because we work with stylists and makeup artists who are, you know, top of their game. They should be doing this as well. So we literally called them all up, like, okay, how do you feel about going on camera? And they were all really shy. I was like, no, shut up, get over yourself. You're going on camera. And they do all of our tutorials and they write for us and they blog and all the how-to stuff. So if you want to know how to do the perfect flick for your eyeliner, if you want to really know how to make sure that your base stays on all day, how to do your makeup in the back of a cab in 3 minutes, that kind of stuff, it's all there by the experts. So pretty much everything in my makeup bag has come off the back of a recommendation from Patsy O'Neill, who does me, and she does Holly Willoughby, and she knows her stuff, you know, she's good. When I first met Patsy, when I was at MTV in 1997, I'd never plucked my eyebrows. And I was like, well, what do you want to do that for? She was like, because they frame your face. I was like, I've got a fringe. No one sees them. She was like, you're not getting this. You're on TV now. You have to be a lady. So she taught me how to pluck my eyebrows. And now most recently, it's like, you know, you should use a primer. I was like, what's a primer? And it is like basically scaffolding for the face. Because as you get older, it's horrific. Karen McGiffin always used to say to me, go on all fours on a mirror, right? Like, all fours, and look down, because that's what a man sees when he's having sex with you. Right, you do it, right? You go, oh, it can't be that bad. Oh my God, it's like a jacket potato staring back at you. Horrific.
Yeah, no, that is literally going to be the first thing Jess and I do when we get home today.
We're going to be cringing forevermore now.
Nothing's as perky as it used to be as a girl.
Especially after you've breastfed a Liminex.
Well, no, don't do it naked. I'm just talking about your face.
Jess has taken it to the next level.
Don't do that. That's horrific. I'm talking about your face.
I can't imagine anything worse than eating a whole tomato.
That is the most brilliant place to leave it. Thank you so much for being on our podcast. You Handbags at Dawn is honoured that you were with us today.
I'm really chuffed to have been asked. Thank you so much. Yeah. Good luck with it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, we are at Handbags Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
And of course, Kate's website is
tbscene.com. Please sign up for our newsletters and we can keep you informed on everything that's going on.
Thank you so much, Kate. We'll speak to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mommy! I love plucking now.
Yeah, you can.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.